Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight, and I want you to go to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7 and 8, Romans chapter 7 and 8, Romans 7 and 8, Romans 7 and 8. As we look tonight into God's Word, I want to begin by just saying this, that bring me back just a little bit in the A's. Bondage is a terrible thing. You know, a lot of people live in bondage to different things. Some people, they live in bondage to fear. And they're just very fearful. And they just constantly are in bondage to fear. For others, it may be worry. They're worrywart. And they just are constantly worrying and fretting. And they live in bondage to worry. Other people, maybe it's some type of a thing like, you know, alcohol, and they're in bondage to it. They can't seem to get loose. Other people, maybe it's pornography. Other people, maybe it's some type of a substance abuse. Other people, maybe it's a temper. You just constantly lose their temper, and they have an anger issue, and they're in bondage to that. They just can't seem to get by it. Some people, maybe they're in bondage to a spending addiction. You know, and they think, well, if I keep buying stuff, it'll make me happy. Is buying stuff going to make you happy? No. But yet people think it will, you know. And if I can get more stuff, I'll be happy. And it doesn't work. And there's just, I mean, on and on and on the list goes. It could be people are in bondage to bitterness. They're in bondage to unforgiveness. They're in bondage to gossip. They're in bondage to a critical spirit. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that we can live in bondage. And bondage is a terrible thing. The Bible makes it very clear that there is a law that is working in our flesh. And that law is attempting to bring us into captivity and into bondage. If you look at Romans 7, go over there first, Romans 7, 23 and 24, the Apostle Paul says here, "But I see another law in my members," that is in my body, my flesh, "warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity," bondage, "notice, to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There is a law. And it's the law, look at Romans 8, verse 2. It talks about the law of the Spirit of life has made me free. Notice, at the end of that verse, he says, "from the law of sin and death." That's what we just read about. There is a law of sin which is in my members. And then Paul says, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There's the law of sin and death. What's a law? A law, by definition, when it's used in this way, is a generalization that's examined until it's proved that there's no exception. So simply put, a law is simply something that happens over and over and over and over and over again. That's a law. The law of sin and death is said to be operating in our flesh. There are no exceptions. It's a law. No one in here is exempt. Everyone in this room has the same law operating in their flesh. The Bible teaches there's only one kind of flesh of men. You don't have a different kind of flesh than me. We all have the same. And that is, the law of sin and death is operative in our flesh, in our bodies. It's as much a law as the law of gravity. It is a law, an operative law. Now, how did that law come to operate in my flesh and in your flesh? Where is its origin? How did the law of sin and death become so deeply rooted in every person's flesh that is born? Well, it's very simple. Adam and Eve, the very first man and woman, had a choice, basically, didn't they? They had a choice between the tree of life and the tree of death. So what do you mean? There was a tree of life, But then there was also in the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, the day you eat this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. So you got the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Then you've got really what's a tree of death. The day you eat that, you're going to die. So when they chose the tree of death, immediately the law of sin and death began to work in their flesh. It became operative in their flesh. They became sinners. They died spiritually. That is, their inner spirit became separated from the life of God. They became alienated from the life of God. They were spiritually dead. They did not physically, they died spiritually. Now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You and I inherited bodies from Adam. Well, if the law of sin is operative in his flesh, and the law of sin is operative in his wife's flesh, Eve, and they have children, then do you think the law of sin is going to be operative in their flesh? Yeah, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and the Bible teaches there's only one kind of flesh of men. So, you and I inherited bodies from Adam, and we got the same law of sin and death working in our bodies. In Romans 8:2, though, a glorious revelation is given in the Word of God. Look at it with me. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of what? Life in Christ Jesus hath made me, here's the key word, made me what? Free. It has made me free from the law of sin and death. That ought to make you shout right there. So great follow-up to Shannon's message from Tuesday night. What an awesome, awesome message Brother Shannon gave us. And I really wanted to do a follow-up to that because I felt like you really hammered the nail, and I just want to give it another smack tonight, Brother Shannon. But, you know, we have been set free from the law of bondage in captivity. You say, how? How am I set free from it? I thought it was a law. Listen. The way we got delivered from the law of sin and death is by the introduction of a new law. The only way to overcome a law is there's got to be an introduction of a new law that overcomes the old law. You see, God has broken sin's stronghold. He set us free. And no longer does it have dominion over us. We're slaves no longer. There's been an introduction of a new law. If the law is that the speed limit's 55 out on the highway out here, then if I go 69, I've broken that law. I'm guilty. Okay, right? But wait a minute. If there's a new law introduced that says the speed limit's 70, then now when I do 69, now all of a sudden I'm operating within the confines of the... I'm okay now. Why? Because a new law has been introduced. It's a wonderful doctrine. And it's nice to say that there's a new law. It's the law of life in Christ Jesus. And it set me free from the law of... That's nice to say. But how do I make it good in my everyday life? How do I make that new law good in my walk with God? I mean, I need more than just to know that I've been set free from the law of sin and death. I got to live in that freedom from the law of sin and death. If there's a law that says the speed limit's 55... But then a new law is introduced that makes the old law of no effect and says now the new speed limit's 70, but I still do 55. I can choose to do that. I can choose to live by the old law if I want to, but I don't have to. Why? Because there's a new law that's been introduced. Can I live, listen, as a Christian, can I choose to live within the confines and in the bondage of the old law of sin and death? Can I choose to do that? Sure. But do I have to do it? No, there's a new law that's been introduced. It's the law of the Spirit of life. So how do I live in the freedom from the law of sin and death? How do I do that? Well, I want us to look at Romans 7 and 8, and I want us to see that. And I really just want to give you two simple thoughts tonight. Two thoughts to take home with you. If you want to live in the new law of life, if you want to overcome the bondage, the captivity, And I don't know what it is you're in bondage to tonight. But whatever it may be, whatever it is, maybe you're not in bondage, but maybe something's threatening you. Whatever it is, if you want to overcome that, there are two really simple thoughts that Paul gives us. And the first one is this. You're going to overcome the law of sin and death that's operative in your flesh. You're going to overcome that, number one, by abandoning all efforts of the flesh. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Abandon all efforts? Yes, you heard me right. Abandon all efforts of the flesh. I want you to look at Romans 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my what? Talk to me, in my what? Flesh. Dwelleth what? No good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Well, then if there's no good thing in my flesh, am I going to overcome the law of sin in my flesh through fleshly effort? Yes or no? No, there's no good thing in my flesh, so I'm not going to be able to do that. It's not going to work. You're in Romans. Go forward two books. Keep your bookmarker here so you can get right back to it quickly, but go forward two books to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but notice what my weapons are. My weapons are mighty, and what's the next two words? Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. That is, those strongholds, those areas of bondage in your life. He says, you know what? You're not going to overcome those by warring after the flesh. You're not going to overcome them through fleshly effort. He says, but rather our weapons are spiritual and they're through God. So that, I think that makes it pretty clear. Victory over the law of sin and death is not going to be gained by fleshly efforts. Listen, New Year's is coming. You are not going to overcome the law of sin and death by New Year's resolutions. Sorry. You're not going to overcome that law of sin and death through fleshly efforts or resolutions or fleshly determinations. Our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are not fleshly, but mighty through God. There is a strong tendency within each of us to try to make the same mistake that the Galatians did. Go to the next book to the right. Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Just go forward one book. Galatians 3. And notice verse 3. Notice the mistake the Galatians made here. They were going to attempt to find freedom from the law of sin and death through their own fleshly efforts. Look at Galatians 3 verse 3. He says, are ye so foolish? Having begun, in other words, you started this whole Christian thing in the Spirit. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect? That is, are you made mature? Are you going to grow? Are you going to overcome this law of sin and death? Notice, are you made perfect by the what? Flesh? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, of course not. Hey, church. They're trying to find victory in a different way than they started. So what do you mean? You know how you start the Christian life? Did you start the Christian life by your own fleshly effort? Did you become a Christian by working up enough righteousness in your flesh to where you finally looked real good to God and God said, boy, you look good now. I'll take you in my family. Is that how it happened? Nope. You came to God as a sinner. You came and humbled yourself. You came and threw yourself upon His grace. And you know what? If you're saved tonight, it's because you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. You started the Christian life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Period. He says, now you're going to try to walk with God a different way? than grace through faith? Now you're going to try to live the Christian life by doing and working and trying to keep the law in the power of your flesh? A lot of Christians do that. A lot. A lot of churches encourage it. There's a lot of people, they're saved by grace, and then after they get saved, the old patterns of trying to do and work to find acceptance with God reasserts itself, and they got this prescribed law of do's and don'ts, and when they keep it, they feel spiritual. And when they don't keep it, they feel carnal. And they end up living in what I say, Romans 7, which is where we were a minute ago. They're striving to be made perfect in the power of the flesh like these Galatians were. And they're frustrated in their Christian life because they're trying to live the Christian life in a different way than they started it. You started it by faith alone in Jesus Christ through His grace. Now you're going to try to live it by keeping the law, by keeping a list of do's and don'ts. And you know, Brother Shannon is writing an excellent curriculum. We want to start an addictions ministry here by God's grace. And not, you know, you think of addictions, you think of drugs and alcohol, but I told you at the beginning of the message, addictions are much more far-reaching than that. People live in addiction, you know, to fear, worry, or the things I mentioned earlier. There's a lot of things we can be addicted to and in bondage to. And we want to come, I hate to even call it an addictions ministry, really. It's really just a how to get out of bondage type ministry that we want to start. How do you get out of the bondage, you know, that you're in? How do you get out of it? And Shannon's writing the curriculum, and I'm looking at every lesson, and it's amazing because it's a grace-oriented curriculum that he's writing. And the reason why we've tried to start this before and never have is because we'll get material from an outside source of people who have put together an addictions program, and it's law based. It's all law-based. It's all oriented around a list of do's and don'ts and fleshly effort and all that. And that's not the way to overcome that law of sin and death. You see, you're not going to overcome flesh through flesh. You know what you got to do? You have to accept the value that God puts on your flesh. Do you know what value God puts on your flesh? Look at Galatians 2:20. Just go back a chapter. He says there in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I am crucified with Christ. Listen, the value that God puts on your flesh is that it's only good for one thing. You know what that is? Death. I'm crucified. Look at Galatians 5. Go over to chapter 5. Could that be any clearer? I mean, can that verse be any clearer right there? "And they that are Christ have," what, "the flesh?" What does it say? Galatians 5:24. "They that are Christ have" what? Did I say the wrong verse? Everybody seems confused. Galatians 5:24. "And they that are Christ," come on, look at it, "have" what? "Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." God says, you know what the flesh is good for? What? Death. It's crucified. The old man is crucified with Christ. Go back with me to Romans again now. Go back to our text. And just skip back a chapter to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. And look at verse 6. A lot of times the flesh is referred to as the old man. And notice it says in Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." What does the Bible teach? Our old man is what? Crucified. How? How did that happen? Well, when you got saved, God placed you in Christ. So now His history has become your history. And now you've been made one with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Have you discovered yet, Christian? Have you discovered the truth that you carry around a lifeless body? in regards to God's will? Have you ever noticed that when you go to pray, how difficult it can be if you try to do it and don't depend on God? Have you ever noticed how the flesh resists that? You go to pray, start dozing. Have you ever noticed how the flesh doesn't like preaching? Pastor Dan preaching away. You know? Have you ever noticed how the flesh doesn't like to read the Bible? The flesh would much rather read a novel. The flesh has no problem watching TV. But you go to read the Bible and the flesh is like, I don't want to do that. You know? The flesh, have you ever noticed how difficult it is to talk to people about Jesus Christ? The flesh doesn't like that. Have you noticed that there's something in your body, there is something deep down inside of you that does not harmonize with the will of God? The law of sin and death in your flesh? Our old man, our flesh is dead. It's been consigned to the cross, crucified. The new man, which has been given to me in Christ, is raised up in resurrection power, new life imparted unto me. Now, if God says that our old man, the flesh, is dead, then how are you going to get good deeds out of a dead body? How are you going to get good deeds out of a dead body? Folks, I'm not real smart, but I do know this. Only stink and rottenness come out of a dead body. Amen? I mean, just try keeping a dead body in your house for a week. Tell me how that works out. You know, that doesn't work out. Anything that you do in the power of your flesh is stink and rottenness in the nostrils of God because it's coming out of a dead piece of flesh. If you sing up here on the platform, but you're singing through the power of your flesh, it stink to God. If you teach your life group in the power of the flesh, it stink to God. If you usher in the power of the flesh, it stink to God. If you preach in the power of the flesh, it is stink in the nostrils of God. If you work for the Lord at Walk Through Bethlehem, but you're doing it through the power of the flesh and in your own self-effort, it is stink to God. God knows there's nothing good in our flesh. The problem is we haven't realized it yet. We're still trying to work up some righteousness in and of ourselves. Paul said in Philippians 3:3, I have no confidence in the flesh, he said. Our confidence level in the flesh has to be zero. I'm going to ask you something. Do you live in fear? Do you live in trembling of stepping out and attempting to do something in the power of the flesh? You should. If you know your flesh for what it is, like God knows, then you would fear ever stepping out. And trying to do something. You would fear and tremble at the thought of getting up before your life group and teaching in the flesh. You would fear and tremble at the thought of getting up here and trying to sing for the Lord before and do it in their flesh. It would fear and trembling at that thought. Fear and trembling of trying to function in a godly way with your family and do it in the power of the flesh. We have to refuse to glory in anything save the cross of Christ. Many times, I think we kind of enjoy glorying in the flesh. I think we secretly kind of enjoy it. You know, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Look what I gave up. Look what habit I overcame. You know, flesh cannot overcome flesh because, like for instance, if you, through your own self-effort, say through your own self-effort, you overcome some addiction. You know what? All that happens there is one sin just gives way to another sin. We get prideful and all puffed up. Look what I overcame. And you know what? Now it's pride. Well, that's sin too, right? So one sin just gives way to another sin. Flesh cannot overcome flesh. We have to understand that no matter how much self-acclaimed, self-motivated righteousness that we can possibly stir up, it's still not pleasing to God. Nothing of the flesh can please God. I mean, right? Let's not forget that. Let's not forget when the Pharisee and the publican were praying, which one went home justified? The Pharisee had his list of do's and don'ts he kept, but he was doing it all in the power of the flesh. And the Pharisee said, I do this and I do that, and I don't do this and I don't do that, and I'm not like this sorry publican. And the publican threw himself on the mercy and the grace of God. God, be merciful to me. I'm just a sinner. I need you. And he's the one that went home justified. Amen, church. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly brings me to my next point. Remember my first point, right? I know y'all remember it. How do I live in freedom from the law of sin and death that operates and functions in my flesh? Well, I abandon all efforts of the flesh. I give up any thought that I'm going to overcome it through my own fleshly effort. But then the second thought I want to give you tonight is this. And that is you have to look to a person for victory. Romans 7, go back there, Romans 7, verse 24. Paul finally sees himself as God sees him. And Paul says, after all the self-effort and self-trying, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 16, he said, yeah, you know, or verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that's good. Thou there's no more thy that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Does that remind you of who's on first? Who's on second? But you know what he's saying there, don't you? He's frustrated. You know? I know I'm supposed to be doing this, and I want to do it, but then I find I can't do it, and I fall, and I stumble, and I fail. And then the stuff I don't want to do, I end up doing. Can anybody identify with that? In verse 24, he finally sees himself as God sees him. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am. And then he cries out, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now look at verse 25. Where's the victory come from? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what he's doing now? He's looking to a person. He's not looking to his flesh. He's looking now. That's going to segue into chapter 8, which is a chapter of great victory. He's looking to someone instead of something. Satan's temptation is not necessarily to get you to do something sinful all the time. A lot of times Satan's temptation is just to get you in your own energy and in your own strength to try to do what you're doing. And it's not always a sin, which is sin, understand, but you know what I mean. Satan's temptation isn't something just blatantly sinful. A lot of times his temptation is just to get you to do good things, but do them in the power of the flesh, in your own energy, in your own strength. You see, up to this point in Romans 7, it's as if Paul was looking to himself, and he's looking to his resolutions and his determinations, and he's looking to his promises. God doesn't want your resolutions and your determinations and your vows and all that. God wants you to simply look to Jesus daily and totally depend upon Him. We no longer look to a list of do's and don'ts. We no longer look that way. In simple faith, we turn our eyes to Jesus. We do what the old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. We look to Jesus and we trust Jesus to do the work through us. When we finally realize that my flesh is dead, that is, it is crucified with Christ. It is totally weak. It is totally helpless. It's then that the resurrection life of Jesus can now begin to be manifest through us. We got to trust Jesus to live through us. Remember what we read? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still living, though. But it's not really me living. It's Christ living His life in me and through me. Our life is nailed to the cross, our old life, and the resurrection life's imparted to us. And you know what our daily prayer ought to be? I'm telling you, daily prayer ought to be, Jesus, live through me. Why do we pray? Lord, help me to live for You today. You know, I did a message one time called Quit Living for God. You know, and that message is online. You ought to go listen to that. I did a message called Quit Living for God. So many times you hear people talk about, you need to live for God, you need to live for God. And I said, you know, it's interesting that you won't find that phrase in the Bible. We use it all the time, but it's one of those phrases we've coined that's not there. You won't find Paul talking about you living for God. Our prayer isn't, Lord, help me to live for You. The idea of, you know, I got to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I got to try to do right today and I got to try to live by the list and I got to try to live for God like I'm trying to climb the ladder, you know, live for God. No, the prayer ought to be, you know what? I've already got Your life, Jesus. I've got everything. I'm complete in You. You know what? I got everything I need internally in Christ. I want You to take what You've given me and live through me. I can't do it. I can't do it. I need the indwelling Christ to live His life through me. For me to live is Christ, Paul said. Period. It's not for me to live is Dan Proctor trying harder. For me to live is Dan Proctor, you know, trying to give up this or give up that or try harder or work harder. No, for me to live is Christ. Have you ever tried to do something? Let me ask you this. Have you ever had to do something in the spiritual realm, maybe at church? And have you ever had to do something that you knew, I can't do this? And you totally depended on God to do it? God, I can't do this. You're going to have to do this through me because I can't do it. I wonder, have you ever experienced that? You know, maybe the first time you ever did Walk Through Bethlehem, you know, and you're like, I can't do this. Lord, You got to do this through me because I can't do it. But you know what the temptation is? The first year, it's, Lord, I can't do this. You got to do it through me. And then a year or two later, it's, Lord, help me to do it. Help me to do it. That's a lot different than, Lord, You got to do it through me. Now it's, well, Lord, I just kind of need Your help. I need Your assistance to help me do it. You know? And then it could even progress from there to, you know, Lord, help me to do this for You. Instead of, Lord, You got to do this through me. Because I can't do it. You know, one of the things on Sunday morning we do is I got a couple of guys and they pray with me back here in the back in between the 9:30 and the 11 o'clock service. And you know what? In my flesh, I've already preached the message once in the 9:30 service. So now the temptation is in the 9:30 service, I totally depend on the Lord. And I trust Him. Lord, You got to preach this through me. But then I'm like every other human being. Once I've preached it once, got it under my belt, you know, now the temptation is to come out in the 11 o'clock and now do it through Dan Proctor's power, through my fleshly ability. And so I appreciate these guys praying with me because it brings me right back to where I need to be. And that's on my knees saying, God, I can't do it unless you do it through me. Remember Paul said, I glory in infirmities. I glory in weaknesses. I glory in all this stuff. Why? Because when I'm weak, then the power of Christ can rest upon me. He says, man, when I'm weakest, that's when I found out Christ can take over. And it's not all this fleshly resistance from me. So he said, you know what? I glory in tribulation. I glory in problems. I glory. It's not that he loved that stuff. It's not that he loved being sick. It's not that he loved to be weak physically. It's not that he enjoyed that stuff. But he said, I've learned to glory and I've learned to appreciate it in the sense that, you know what? When I'm weak in the flesh, I'm not tempted to lean on my flesh. When I'm weak in the flesh, then I can't lean on my flesh, and it forces me to totally depend on Christ. So I've learned to appreciate all that bad stuff because the power of Christ can really work through me then. When temptation comes, and it comes daily, when temptation comes, we have a choice if you're a Christian. You can either approach it in the power of the flesh, or you can approach it in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that lives within you. The secret to living in freedom from the law of sin and death is not you trying harder, gritting your teeth. It's totally yielding yourself to the new law that's been introduced in your spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, and letting Christ live through you. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Remember, who started the work in you? God. Right? God started the work in you. Correct? Well, if God started the work, do you think God will continue the work? Philippians 1:6 says, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Isn't that good news? He who started the work, He will perform the work until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I labor and I strive according to His working. He said, I labor, I'm out there working, yeah. But he said, I'm doing it according to Christ working, which worketh in me mightily. Wow. So, when I'm faced with a new demand, I look to Christ in me to do what's required. And it's what we sung tonight. It's not a case of trying, it's trusting. Not running, but resting. It's not a question of me struggling, but resting in Him. It's the attitude, Lord, I can't do it. I take my hands off the steering wheel. I'm trusting You to do it. We need to walk in the work that Christ does through us. See, the Christian life really is not a work. It's a walk. The Christian life is a walk. It's a daily walk. Christ does the work. Don't get me wrong, there is a work. But it's Christ that does the work. And we simply walk in the work that Christ does. In Romans 8, we'll end with this verse, Romans 8:4. That the righteousness, look at this, Romans 8:4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? In us. Well, who lives in you? Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the righteousness of the law is not fulfilled by all my outward stuff. No, it's fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? That means I walk with a total dependence upon Christ's Spirit in me. I walk with a total dependence on Him. Hey, how do I get victory over the old law of sin and death? First of all, I abandon any efforts of the flesh. That isn't going to work. Resolutions, determinations, promises, vows, all that. Nah, that ain't going to work. So I abandon the efforts of the flesh. Number two, I look to a person for victory. And who is that person? Jesus Christ. I look to Him daily. I put my total faith and trust in Him daily. When I'm confronted with sin, confronted with temptation, I immediately take my position in Him and I rest in Him. I trust Him. Amen, church? Let's pray.